On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, Raiders owner Mark Davis finally speaks out against the NFL's handling of the John Gruden emails. We'll get into what that means. And we'll look at the good, the bad, and the ugly from the Eagles game. Great game for the Raiders, but a couple troubling trends. We'll talk about Josh Jacobs injured, not injured, why this all matters, and also why Derek Carr's numbers aren't even the best thing that he's contributing to the Raiders now. And we love when you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into the nightmares. The
Raiders! Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto. Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. Hello from Abu Dhabi. Hello from the other side of the world. Hello, America. I'm in the future. 11 hours ahead. I'm 11 hours ahead of you, Soto. So if you want to know any winning lottery numbers or who's going to, like, you know, win on Saturday. I'm here working for UFC 267 coming up this Saturday. Fantastic card. On the road for this show. Happy to be here.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, no big deal. It's before 7 a.m. Thursday morning and about 8 p.m. Wednesday night.
Wednesday night
in Long Beach. Did I get that right? I haven't slept in 2 days, so I have no clue what it is. So, Lord, people are going to say, like, was RJ drunk on that show? I wish. Just very sleep deprived, and you get similar reactions.
Yeah, very similar. And I hear Abu Dhabi kind of fucks with your internet, so you really can't get the good pornog.
Yeah, so the very restrictive internet access here in Abu Dhabi. It is going to be careful how I say this, but the government makes their wants abundantly clear to people that are here. And so all porn sites blocked. And I can't get my VPN to work. So not only am I exhausted, I'm also completely backed up. So you don't know.
Can't get his VPN or his PN.
Need to do a podcast.
You can't get your VPN or your PN to work. Nothing.
Yeah. None of the letters. But you know who's more pissed than me? Mark Davis. So we're going to talk about the fantastic Eagles win. So Derek Carr playing lights out. We're going to hit our what up windbags. But the breaking news, Mark Davis finally talked to some reporters, actually sat down with microphones in front of him and didn't say everything, didn't go off, but he was adamant.
Can I stop you for a second?
You may.
How fucking sweet was he? He did an exorcism of Al Davis because he was wearing the fucking white jumpsuit.
We'll get to his outfit here in a second.
Oh my God. I got so fucking rock hard because he was sounding like Al and he was looking like Al. I was like, this guy, he's old now, but he's going to be a very distinguished, even older gentleman with that white jumpsuit.
He's getting his old senile look. Going early, which I appreciate. You know what I mean?
And he got the Lloyd Christmas too, still.
It's like a 26-year-old wearing a members only jacket. You know? That's Mark Davis.
Hey man, you can't be a dirty old man until you're a dirty young man. You know what I'm saying? Hey,
he's a trendsetter. All right. What do you want? The guy's a trendsetter. So he finally spoke about a lot of things. But we'll start with this conversation about John Gruden and everything that happened. So he was asked, and so this is during the owners' meetings in New York. So that's why the owners are there, is finally talking. This may sound like he's not sounding 5% as harsh as you or me or other people who have been diagnosing and addressing this whole fiasco of how the Washington football team got off scot-free and somehow the Raiders got the shaft by losing our coach, just 5 games into a winning season. But it's important, not so much what he said, but whose mouth it came out of. So here's Mark Davis on Wednesday. When he was asked about the whole John Gruden and all that stuff. That's probably the disappointment that I had. The fact that they may have known about it a couple of months beforehand and didn't let us know. We weren't informed until that Thursday, and we heard it from the Wall Street Journal initially. I believe that we had gotten the information earlier in the summer when they learned about it. It would have been a lot easier for everybody involved. So he's not trying to say, all right, John Gruden, he's innocent, or I wanted to keep him, or what he said wasn't that bad. And we've been saying this for weeks. That part of the story's done. Like, he said it, he got caught, and he got one of the worst cancellations of any public figure, right? Like, he's out of his $100 million deal. Like, John Gruden's story is over. Finito. That part of it is done. Now it's a matter of, well, what happened behind the scenes? Why was John Gruden and the Raiders specifically targeted and having these emails weaponized to go after them? And the real question that Mark Davis is asking is timing. If the NFL had these for months, these emails on John Gruden for months, why did they wait till week five and 4 days before, 3 days before a game for it to leak to the Wall Street Journal and then send it to the Raiders?
It's all very good questions, man. The problem when something doesn't make sense is you can't make sense of it. It's if you're trying to look at it from a perspective of logic, there is no logic when someone has a personal vendetta. It's just somebody doesn't like so-and-so for whatever reason, and you can't make sense of it. There's no logic. There's no, you know, a logical tree behind it to build off of.
I think there is a logical tree behind it.
I mean, yeah, there's that. But, I mean, there's nothing other than that. It's solely that. Somebody had an issue with John Gruden or the Raiders or both, and they said, okay, this is my chance to get back at him. And maybe it was the harshness that he spoke of Commissioner Goodell, and maybe more people than Goodell wanted to have read that article, read the emails, because they were doing the investigation, and he felt a little bit challenged, and he decided to knock him down a peg. Unfortunately, that's kind of what we have to live with now, because, you know, the NFL doesn't have to release anything. At least as of right now, they don't.
This is why it's such a big deal. The owners are almost always publicly in agreement, right? They're like parents who game planned how to raise their kids ahead of time. You know, parents, they disagree all the time, but to their kids, it's a united front. It's like, well, I'm going to ask dad for something. If he says no, I'm going to ask mom. And they've initially decided beforehand, okay, maybe I disagree, but we're saying no to this. Wants to do something, right? It's like, well, mom said that. Yeah, well, I'm with mom, right? For owners to go out against other owners, which is what Mark, like, this is a declaration of war by Mark Davis. He's saying, Dan Snyder and the Washington football team, that report that you guys have buried, I want out. I want that story out. I want a written report. I want to know what's going on. Well, first of all, I want to know why the timing was the way it was. And two, I want a report of that story. That's a really, really big deal. That's a huge deal. I want the dirty laundry aired out by a fellow NFL owner. That's no small statement. That's a really big deal. So, again, not so much what he said, because he's kind of just calling for what everybody's been calling for, but it's who said it that makes it that big of a deal. So, first off, look at that sweet outfit.
Fucking hell, man.
Oh my God. Look at that.
Tits.
Look at
that. And he kept the backpack on when he sat down, too. Like, fuck you guys. This ain't going to take long.
He looks like a 8-year-old on the first day of school, and he just got back from a Florida vacation with super sunburned.
Like, he looks back, like the last kid at the carpool, like the last kid to get picked up.
Like the kid that got left at the carpool, and his teachers are now asking him, why were you left at the carpool?
His parents are having problems, and they're kind of going back and forth and arguing. They kind of forget about the kid, and oh shit, you're supposed to get up today. No, you were. And there is fucking little Marky just sitting there fucking with his PE teacher and the assistant principal until the fucking parent shows up.
That's a look of a guy who doesn't look like he has problems. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, I want that white jacket, bro. I'm going to fucking
go. Dude, I want that jacket. I want that whole combination. I want that jacket backpack combo so bad.
What is that backpack, though?
It looks like, is it a Raiders backpack? It looks kind of Raidersy. Like,
I want a Raiders backpack. I'm going to go fucking right now. After the show, I'm going to go online and get that starter's white jacket. That's just look at that. Fucking pimp.
Like, it looks kind of Raidersy, right? Silver, black, kind of that design, you know?
Bro, that shit is so hard. And he's wearing a white t-shirt to the fucking owner's meeting. Dude, I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
most of the villains, I know this. Okay, if anyone used to watch like wrestling in like the 80s and 90s, the bad guys were made. They weren't born. Okay, mm-hmm. Many of these villains are made, and Al Davis was made a villain by Pete Rozelle.
Yep.
Mark Davis was always the chill guy. He's not like Al. He's this. He's that. This is how villains are made. And this is why I always cheered the heels, man. I always cheered the bad guys. And this fucking reason right here, born a Raider.
He's only got the one button buttoned. That's it.
That's all he needs, baby.
The top button.
That's all he needs. Dude,
so we can go boiler out.
Do you understand? These are billionaires showing up to meet each other. And this fool shows up with a white t-shirt and jeans. That's fucking pimp, bro.
Yeah, Jerry Jones is in a Armani suit, Dan Snyder, probably Gucci, and Mark Davis is like, you know what? I want to look like...
This is that starter shit,
like,
son.
I want to look like the 8-year-old in our back-to-school Raiders catalog.
Hey, man, he don't own fucking Louis Vuitton. He don't own Gucci. He don't own fucking Prada. He owns the motherfucking Raiders. That's who he's flagging. That's a flag he's flying. Fuck these guys.
So here's Mark Davis earlier today, Wednesday, your guys' time, talking about the potential of having a report out on, like, a written report formalized from the Washington Football Team investigation.
Want to see a report?
Probably, yeah. I think that there should be. Yeah. Especially with some of the things that were charged.
Yeah, I believe so. I think people
deserve to be,
especially the people that were
still
victims.
Do you want?
That doesn't sound like an outrageous claim to me at all.
No, he's just like, hey, man, yeah, with what came out, I would like to see the rest of it.
So now here's so the call is a big deal all by itself out of Mark Davis, breaking with the ownership lines. And saying, yeah, any dirty laundry out there with the Dan Snyder, Washington Football Team, whoever, let's see it. Right? That's narking on the people that you're supposed to be bound with, right? It's you guys together versus politicians you're trying to regulating. You guys bound together versus the players union. You guys bound together when you're negotiating whatever, advertising deals or with networks. Like, you guys are supposed to be bound together. And Mark Davis is like, double bird to both of you, to all of you. I want answers, right? And he's saying it subtly, and he was asked that question, didn't come out aggressively, but that's what he's saying. Like, he's wanting his fellow owners to be narked on.
With the access to information these days, as much as ESPN and the NFL and fucking Mickey Mouse and all his entities want to control the narrative,
yeah,
you can't. When the information's out there, credible information is out there, and anyone has it at their fingertips, right? Mm-hmm. So pretty soon, he's like this now. If they keep fucking with him, he's going to be that fucking line from Malcolm X. Like, when people are like, dude, what are you doing, Mark Davis? You're going against all the owners. He's going to be like, I didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on me. And he's like, you guys fucked me over first, okay? Yeah. You guys fucking left me out to fucking dry. You can redact names. You can redact anything you want. Just let the information out. And that would have been the cheap way out for Roger Goodell and the NFL. Let me cover up all the names. Let me cover up all the franchises. This is the type of information that's been passed back and forth within the NFL. This is what we're doing to correct it. That would have been like, okay, it sucks. It's, you know, you probably would have people like, Lou, we want to hear names. We're gonna speculate here and there. This is this person, this is that person, but you don't know for sure, so you can't do anything about it. But then you have a little, you know, a weekend for this, a game dedicated to that, and all this shit, and it's all over with. That's all you had to do.
How pissed off is Roger Goodell that his little ploy to like try to shaft like a great starting season by the Raiders has completely backfired? The Raiders are 2-0 since he went and got Gruden fired. All the attention, like, now that Gruden like got the shaft, there's no one talking about Gruden anymore. Like, how he's a bad guy. It's like, no, he got his punishment, right? He's serving his time, so he's done. Like, that happened like that. It didn't dwell. It didn't stick around. The follow-up stories is now with a magnifying glass on the NFL. It's like, You opened this Pandora's box, NFL.
Yeah, man, you did it to yourself.
You had this giant burlap sack of dirt and dog shit, and you took tweezers and you picked out, like, you went through the dog shit and found John Gruden's three pieces of dog shit, put that to the side in front of everybody, hooked up the burlap sack, threw it over your shoulder and left, and say, nothing more to see here, folks. Well, yeah, people want to see more.
A lot more to see.
Obviously. Dude, so.
The NFL stumbled upon a shit sandwich. And I don't care what angle you look at it from, it's still a fucking shit sandwich. Whether you want to give somebody a nibble or half of it, it's still a shit sandwich. And it's still in the NFL's possession. You can't, it's just the world, the universe just has ways of evening things out. It has ways of giving people who do bad and who try to get away with fucking obvious fucking crazy shit to just get it shoved up their ass.
Yeah,
dude, the fucking Raiders. What do Raiders do? Raiders go into a fucking place that's not theirs. They take anything of value, and then they destroy it on the way out. That's what Raiders do. You know what the Raiders are called in Spanish? They're called the malosos, the bad guys. That's what they're called. They're marauders. That's what they do. Mark Davis does not have any other, like, huge revenue stream anywhere else. He's not trying to protect something else outside of the NFL. If you attack the Raiders, you attack him personally, and that's why it's going to be different than attacking another owner, because this guy, he is going to take it personal, because that is his life.
And this is what he's been grown up with, right? Like, his line was great. It's like, what do you make of this? Well, we're Raiders, we're used to it. Like, this is
what happened the last time this happened really bad was 40 years ago, and the Raiders won the fucking Super Bowl. They pushed them that bad, and they fucked them over that hard. Dude, fucking the Raiders were, like, positioning. You saw 30 for 30. They were positioning for a new stadium for years, and then here comes fucking Minnesota, like, hey, man, can we get a new stadium? And NFL was like, sure, here's a bunch of money. Like, the fuck? You're fucking us over left and right. And then now, like, dude, I'm telling you, man, it's just the universe has its way of evening shit out. I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders just fuck around and win the fucking Super Bowl just to shove it up Goodell's ass.
Just despite all of his best efforts, right? No, dude, we're going to move to Carson with the Chargers. Nope, we're going to cut that out. Oh, you've worked your own amazing best deal ever for a stadium in Las Vegas? All right, damn. Okay, we can't stop that. We're not going to say no to
you're not going to get any money from us. We don't need your fucking money, idiot.
Screw you then. Did it. Like, oh, your John Gruden experiment is finally starting to work? All right, now's our time to bring the axe down on him. And the axe is down. It's a clusterfuck. Interim coaches. Who knows who's in charge? Oh, we're 2-0 and haven't looked this good since 2016? Since you did that?
Yo, it's, man, like, how do you,
it's like Raiders, like, Raider fans are so, like, the Raiders are so calloused to the NFL just trying to, like, grind them down, that they're just, like, immune to it. It's like NFL's best efforts brings out the best in the Raiders.
Dude, I was watching football before the Bronco game. So early, before the Bronco game.
Yeah.
I went to a bar here with Brian, you know, my neighbor, our friend.
I need your life story.
And these fucking – the fuck out of it. These Pats fans were like, we didn't get a call? And I'm like, the fuck? Some of these franchises are pretty fucking pampered, man. Let me tell you. And God, all these fucking franchises, all these fans for all these franchises, they're going to be so bitter. So fucking bitter when we fucking hoist that trophy.
And then 3 hours later, Henry Ruggs gets an offensive, not roughing fucking, the passer.
No,
unnecessary roughness.
Yeah.
Henry Ruggs, 180-pound speedster, gets an unnecessary roughness call just because
I've never seen that called on offense. Anybody else? I've never seen that called any other. The Raiders
I have. Last season, Josh Jacobs got that shit. Like, they literally make up penalties for the Raiders, and the Pats are like, oh, whoa, how come we didn't get our 17th holding call? This is bullshit. So, yeah, we're used to it. A couple more things on this, and we'll move on to the fun actual football part. Davis also mentioned a couple other things. He said that they did reach a financial agreement with John Gruden, which we all kind of assumed they wouldn't just leave a $100 million contract in limbo and have him resign. Didn't go into details of what that was. Also talked about the resignations of the president, Mark Badain, and CFO Ed Villanueva, and said it was due to accounting regularities. They overpaid our taxes. We paid more than we owe in a matter that may have started in Oakland. So
Jesus,
he was kind of vague about it, but he has to know enough to have half of his front office bounce on him or like fire or be gone. So it's still like, I feel like that it's kind of what we talked about when all this first news came out is a law firm's involved. There's an investigation going on. Everyone's going to be quiet. We probably won't know what's up until there's like a lawsuit or something like that. But it was nice to see Mark Davis finally kind of like hold court and chime in on a couple of things. Didn't really learn anything drastically new, but he did kind of confirm. It was nice to know that all of our hypotheses.
There you go.
We're all basically true. And Mark Davis pretty much confirmed kind of what we've been hypothesizing this whole time.
For all we know, they could have been tax attorneys come and audit us for the last 7 years. What the fuck did we do? Why are we getting hit up by the IRS? And they went in there and they fucking combed that shit. They're like, dude, you guys are fucking idiots.
Yeah,
you guys overpaid by X. So, it's. I mean,
was it someone? A CFO, he needs to learn how to pay less taxes to the government. I drive really far to my tax lady because she's really, really good and finds out ways to legally avoid taxes, right?
Bro, I go to Westminster. My homeboy's like, you give to your church? Okay. You donate money? Okay.
Oops, accidentally put an extra zero on there. No, I'm not saying that, but like, that's what you pay good money for, someone who's like really good about, oh, move your money here, invest in this, get a life insurance, you don't have to pay this tax, right? Start an S corp instead of C corp, all these little like tricks, right? And you've got someone who's controlling all the money for an NFL franchise going the other way with it? Hell yeah, you should be fired. Hell yeah, you clean house. Look, paying more taxes?
They all quit. That was a Gruden deal. Mark Davis walked in and was like, listen, motherfuckers, I'm going to fucking fire your ass or you guys can bounce right now.
Well, look, it's even with the czar of the football operations, Gruden gone, all the money people in the front office gone, Raiders are still crushing it. Raiders are still killing it. And there's no better example than in Sunday's game with the Raiders hog-tying and smashing the Eagles 33-22. Wasn't even as close as that original score was. So, one of my favorite things to do every Wednesday after a win, good, the bad, and the ugly.
All righty. Let's take a look. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's start with the good, as we always do. We got to start with Derek Carr.
Oh, you love talking about how good Derek Carr is.
Yeah, Derek, a.k.a. David, a.k.a. Derek. Did you see that Instagram post with, like, Derek Carr looking like with the Jesus hair? It says the savior underneath it. It was pretty sweet. Okay. Derek Carr, an insane 32 of 35, 323 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. What can you say?
The craziest part, 91.2% completion percentage.
That's crazy.
And so only, why am I blanking?
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, right? Only Drew Brees has a higher completion percentage in a single game with over 30 passes. Derek Carr has number 2 and number 3. And Rich Gannon's number 4. Highest completion percentage ever.
Greater thing, baby.
Field Yates is the best way to put it. He now has 2 games in his career with at least 30 attempts and a 90% completion percentage. Every other player in NFL history has combined for 1. That's a much better way to put it than the way we did. Thank you, Field Yates.
That's why Field Yates is who he is. That's why he has a check mark and I don't.
Yeah, that's why.
Yep. All right, so great job, Derek Carr, leading the team. We said it would happen, and it did, with Waller out unexpectedly. Foster Moreau, 6 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown.
And that's with Waller not, like, out for like a week. And so Foster Moreau's been getting all the first team reps, and they were game planning around having Foster Moreau. No, this is like morning of. This was, they thought they can get Waller to play during warmups. And they're like, yeah, it's like, not good enough. We can't do it. So it's literally Moreau on like 45 minutes notice. And Olsen, 45 minutes notice. Derek Carr, 45 minutes notice. Oh, yeah, by the way, the best player on our team, maybe the best tight end in football, one of only two Pro Bowlers we have returning on this team. Yeah, he can't play. So Foster Moreau's going to do it, and he crushed it. No best problem, backup man. Tight end in football.
Dude, that that touchdown catch, he took it off of the defender's back. That's some trust that Carr has with his backup tight end. That's how much trust he has with his backup tight end. He's going to throw that ball into the defender's back so Moreau can just reach over and grab it. So great job, Foster Moreau. The offensive line, no sacks allowed, only two quarterback hits. The team ran 29 times for 119 yards. It's a little bit over 4 yards to carry, so 4.1. That isn't earth-shattering, but it's damn good for us. And two touchdowns on the ground. So great job, offensive line, getting better.
And also, like, I know the Eagles were 2-4. You know, they're 2-5 now, not good. Their defense is pretty good. Like, this is it's an above average defense, specifically their secondary. Like, they have a really good secondary. And
it's not the Texans. You know, they're not the Texans.
Yeah. They're not trash. Like, it's a good defense. Yeah. It's a good defense.
They were right around where we were defensively. Mm-hmm. Brandon Faison, 9 tackles, led the team, 8 solo. 3 pass defense. They wanted to go after him, and not a good thing to do because he knocked down 3 of them.
Even with the refs trying to get him with a roughing the passer when it was like, do you remember that? Was it a roughing the passer? Because I think Hurts was on the run, but it was just like Hurts slid and Faison was already like lowering his shoulder. Yeah. And so his shoulder like kind of touched the chest of Jalen Hurts.
And then Hurts was like, ugh.
And it kept the drive going, and they ended up throwing an interception at the end. But it was like, dude, just another like, it's almost not even fun complaining about how much the Raiders get shafted by the refs. But
dude, even the guy from the fucking like the ref, like whoever the fuck his name is, he's like, yeah, that was kind of a late slide by the quarterback. I probably would have kept the flag in my pocket. I'm like, well, fuck, dude. Tell these guys. Yeah. Shit. Moving right along, Denzel Perryman. Shocker, not double digits tackles, but he had 8 tackles, 6 solo, and a tackle for loss. So keep it
going. That's a slow day. That's a slow day for Perryman. That's how good he's playing.
Both Littleton and Abram had fumble recovery, so they're around the ball, gang tackling. And the last good is Yannick Ngakoue.
Big game.
4 tackles, 2 solo, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, 2 pass defense, 2 quarterback hits, and yes, your AFC Defensive Player of the Week, Yannick Ngakoue. Great
job. And that doesn't even count like 3 or 4 plays where he had Jalen Hurts like pressured and he threw like an incompletion or threw it away because Ngakoue was up his ass. Like,
so there are certain things that you see when young quarterbacks get pressured and you're like, oh, okay. Like Joe Burrow, even Trevor Lawrence, even though they're not doing well, like when he gets pressured, like he doesn't have these happy feet. He doesn't get all flustered. Justin Herbert's like it. The reason why I like Josh Allen so much, because I saw that in him his first couple years. Like, yeah, he's going to see pressure, but he's not going to panic. Jalen Hurts, he panicked. He panicked. He did a lot of Teddy B, a lot of Teddy Bridgewater, a lot of happy feet, panicky. That needs to get corrected if he's going to.
That's why I've been saying all season long. Like, again, I would love for Ngakoue and Crosby to have like 9 sacks each by now. Like, of course, that'd be amazing. But instead of them just having stat-friendly bursts, I'd rather them just be constant disruptors in the backfield. Like, that's what our defense needs, right? There's logic to a certain defense where it's boom or bust. It's like, all right, we're going to play super aggressive. You're going to beat us over the top a couple times. You're going to break some. But we're going to get a lot of turnovers. We're going to get a lot of sacks.
Yeah.
That's not the Raiders' defense. The Raiders' defense is we play back, keep the big plays low, get a ton of pressure with our D-line, and wait for you to make a mistake. Just kind of dink and dunk, try to do a long drive. You'll make a mistake eventually, right? And that's what our defensive line is doing. Just be disruptive, be in their face. Like, it's not and even then, 4 turnovers last week, 2 fumble recoveries this week. That's when they become like unbeatable, is when you're not overly aggressive and risky. and you're still getting sacks. You're still getting passes batted down. You're still getting fumble recoveries. You're still getting interceptions.
Yeah, quarterbacks that like offensive coordinators go and play space in the Raiders are like, all right, they're not giving us a tell on what they're doing, but we do know that they're not going to blitz very much. It doesn't matter. The quarterback's still going down. He's still going to get hit. So that's something that's good on our favor. We don't have to show our hand or anything because we're not really doing anything any different than we do every other play.
Yep.
So that was a good on that victory. Here comes the bad. Philadelphia had 32 carries for 135 yards. That's a 4.2 average and a touchdown on the ground. Not as bad as we have been. 4 yards a carry as opposed to we were giving up 5 yards a carry. But when you look at Miles Sanders only played one series or a one and a half series, I guess, a series and a half, that could have been a lot uglier.
That's really bad with context. That's not quite ugly, but it's still bad. And like bad, you said, Miles Sanders got hurt. Back, you know, didn't play a lot of series. And two, they were playing behind the entire game.
They had to throw a lot
more. They had to throw a ton, and they still rushed for a ton on us.
Yeah.
Like, this is, you know, it's not going away. Like, it's like, again, it's amazing. Like, we stopped, like, we beat great rushing team like the Ravens, but like, we're finding ways to win around our terrible run defense. We're not fixing our run defense. And maybe that's just part of the scheme, right? Maybe they're just like, Max and Yannick, just get after the quarterback. Linebackers, don't get, you know, don't let them pass. Don't let tight ends get passes over your shoulder, right? Maybe that's what the scheme is, right? Where you got to pick your poison. And we're saying, okay, in our division with the quarterbacks we're playing, we'll let them eat some yards up on the ground, but it's a legit problem. Like, even if they're picking that poison, it's not a poison that's going away.
Yeah, for sure. So that's the actually another bad is Jacobs injured again. Is he injured? Was he not injured? What was it? Was it a chest thing? Was it a rib? Like, I've heard a couple things where rib injuries could sometimes be, you know, reported as chest injury. What was it?
So this is what's this is where Jacobs kind of paints himself into a corner a little bit. So he left, right before the half, right? It was after his touchdown run. He finished a drive, got a touchdown. He was untouched in that touchdown run. And then we saw him leave kind of like pulling his jersey up, showing his shoulder pad, like chest plate, and kind of like pointing to like his pec or chest or shoulder, something like that, right? As he's walking off. Very subtle. But he didn't play for the rest of the game. And so obviously you're all pro running back, right? The Raiders only have two Pro Bowlers from last season. Both of them were hurt. Darren Waller didn't play. Josh Jacobs didn't play. Of course, the media is going to have questions. Like, all right, Rich Bisaccia, you know, what's the update on Josh Jacobs? Oh, we're not sure. We'll tell you tomorrow. Monday at his press conference, he says, all right, we think he's fine. We're still kind of figuring it out, but he should be fine. Just a chest contusion, no big deal. That was a very small, like, that was best case scenario. Oh, he got a bruise on his chest. Chest contusion. Great. Like, awesome. But for whatever reason, Josh Jacobs took umbrage of it and went onto social media to say, I'm fine. I'm not hurt. I don't know why you guys make a big deal about this. And just like all other NFL players, doesn't give background or context, like very cryptic on social media. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just because I'm pushing 40 and I don't get 24-year-olds on social media these days. But NFL players are the dumbest, most cryptic social media things. Like, you're trying to clear the air, Jacobs. You're not. You're only making it more confusing. You're only making this not make sense. Because look, one of two things happened. Either you got hurt and you had to miss the second half, and okay, maybe it's a minor injury. Okay, great. Like, it was a minor injury and you're good to go. At least say that. It's still an injury. Or you didn't get hurt and you still missed the second half for another reason. Those are the only two options. There's no other. Like, if you're not hurt, why'd you miss the second half? So my theory, and it's the same theory I've been kind of pushing ever since Josh Jacobs has been on Raider, is he's got a big contract extension potentially coming up after next season, right? It'll be his fourth year next season. And if he's known as an injury prone running back, which he absolutely is, like, you have to be a perfect running back in the NFL in, you know, 2021 to get a big contract, because we're seeing it every single day. The Bears were on their third string quarterback running back last week. They had like 140 yards. Right? Like, we're learning time and time again.
The Browns' third string running back had 160 something yards and two touchdowns. I know, because I picked him up in fantasy.
Every week. every week there's like a third string practice squad, undrafted random running back who goes for like 17 fantasy football points, right? So if you're Josh Jacobs and you're basically only a two down back because you're not really a pass catching back and you're hurt all the time, you're not going to get a quarter. You're not going to get a big contract. Again, I keep saying, I hope the Raiders trade Josh Jacobs next season. I love him. He's awesome. Thank you, Josh. But I don't want to pay him. I'd rather trade him and get some value out of him, right? So I think this is Josh Jacobs saying like, no, no, no. I don't want the reputation of an injury-prone running back. Because he just said last week, oh, this is the first time I felt great. This is the first time in like a Wednesday practice where I have nothing going on. I came out of a game with not even a scratch. This is awesome. To which I'm like, okay, that's supposed to be good news, Josh. But that means this is the first time you've ever made it to week six without being injured. Good. Like that's great short term, but that's not what I want to hear. Yeah. That's not what raises your value. And then he literally misses an entire half of football when our best player is already out and our team doesn't miss a beat. And now he's complaining about what the language is talking about his injury. So to me, this is all PR from Jacobs to try to shed the image of being an injury prone running back. And that's why, and all he's doing is making it look worse.
I think more than likely what happened was, is he did get some sort of injury. Was it serious enough for him to miss time? No, it wasn't. But the Eagles haven't stopped you, right? You're going to get the ball. You're up two scores. You're going to get the ball back again to go up three scores after the half. They haven't stopped. You stopped yourself the first drive. They haven't stopped you yet. You have Kenyon Drake. He's been running well. You just came off of an injury, you know, a couple weeks, missing into time, you know, due to injury. Let's just, you have a bye next week. Let's just shut it down for today. You were all right. We're going to be okay. And, I mean, you know, go from there, because it's just, I don't know, man. It's a weird situation. I understand where Josh Jacobs is coming from. Just go out there and ball out, Josh. That's it. Go out there and ball out. You'll make your money.
And what does he expect the coaching staff to say? He's totally fine. He wasn't even injured on Sunday. Like, he missed half of the football game. He missed the entire half. And you're going to say, oh, it was nothing? He was totally fine? Like, that looks even worse. Like, that raises even more questions. I thought Bisaccia handled it perfectly. Minor contusion, he's good to go. Not a big deal.
He's fine. That's it. Just moved on.
That was the perfect answer. It's like, oh, yeah, he practiced, no problem. You got a chest bruise, no big deal. He's ready to go. Like, if I'm Josh Jacobs, I'm like, oh, thank God, that's what he said, that it was no big deal. But he's making a big deal about him, about Bisaccia downplaying whatever the injury was. Because, Josh, you got injured. You missed two quarters. So none of this like, oh, I was totally fine. Like, no, you weren't. You missed two quarters. Anyway.
Something happened.
All right,
so that's the bad. Here's the ugly. Our defense allowed multiple touchdowns for the second straight week in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
15 points. That's pretty ugly. So
that's pretty ugly.
Here's the context. We were up both times. We were up three scores when this happened. We were up three scores. Philly scored a touchdown. We came back. Scored a field goal to go up three scores again, and then they scored another touchdown, and then we 17-33,
right? Or no, it was 10-33 in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah. No, they did a two-point conversion.
Oh, so it was – yeah, so it was – no, it was so like
– it was 30-7,
uh-huh.
And then they scored a touchdown to make it 15-30, so they're within two scores. We kicked the field goal, and they scored a touchdown, and then kicked the extra point.
And it was an ugly 15 points, because this is a – hopefully it's not a microcosm of what happened the last two seasons, right? Like, we started off so strong in this football game, faded late. What have we done the last two seasons? Start off super strong, fade late. Because the Raiders aren't used to being so far ahead in the third quarter, I'm hoping it's not turning into a laissez-faire type of attitude. Where it's like, oh, we're up by 25, whatever. Because it was an ugly 15 points. Like, what was it? The first touchdown of that fourth quarter, the guy was triple coverage. Like, there was literally three Raiders jumping up for the ball. One Eagles receiver, forgot which one it was. Eagles receiver comes down with it, runs the extra 7 yards in for a touchdown. Yeah. It was triple covered. And everyone's just kind of like, oh, he got it. And the two-point conversion, the guy was wide open in the corner of the end zone. It just looked like a defense that was like, oh, we got this. We've already won. Let's not worry about it anymore.
So
back-to-back games.
Yeah, this is something that I think is going to get cleaned up during the bye week. I'm going to say it again. I don't like prevent defense. I don't think it's necessary when you have a defense like Gus Bradley's defense. I don't know that we've been beat over the top a lot by anyone else.
It didn't feel like a prevent defense. It just felt like our regular cover three.
It wasn't. It was the shell of it, but it was like 15 yards like cushion on top of that. So it's like it mentally does something for a defender when you're like, all right, just stay back. When you're not telling them, you know, go after the ball, see it, hit it, right? Yeah. Be aggressive. It's like, all right, don't let anyone pass. It's a different mindset. And, yeah, that can play into the performance as well. Offensively, you're going to keep running the ball when you're not, you know, doing that great running the ball. You have a short passing game that you can use to gain yardage as well. I understand what they're trying to do and shorten the game and everything, but again, this was my criticism of the Gruden offense in previous years when you had a bad defense. It's just like I can't freaking remember his name from the Alabama coach. What's his name?
Nick Saban.
Nick Saban. What did he say?
Kind of a no-name coach.
Fuck that guy. He sucks. Yeah. He said you have to outscore teams. You can't depend on your defense to stop people from scoring.
And the offense didn't do the defense any favors because we just went into like basic predictable run plays, three and out.
Well, yeah, that's why I said, dude, the last few years, I'm like, this ball control offense, dude, if you're giving up if touchdowns quickly, a ball control offense is not going to work because you have to be perfect when you do that type of offense. You should be pushing the ball down the field and trying to score a bunch of ton of points too. When we talk about the comparison between Carr and Stafford, that's what the Lions did. They're like, you know what, dude? Our defense isn't bad as the Raiders, but we're not that great defensively either. We got to put up a bunch of points. And so that's what I feel was happened a little bit in the second half, or especially the fourth quarter of the last couple of games, is we went back to like the whole ball control type of thing. And it's like, dude, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Just keep running your same old offense. They've never stopped you up until that point. Just keep running your same old offense. The clock's going to continue to run because you're going to get first down.
I think it was more coaching than players, but I think the players deserve their share of the blame. But I think it was also kind of like the game planning and coaching that led to our fourth quarter breakdowns. Which I'd rather have that be the problem than trying to fix, 16 defensive players and their mentality.
Oh, agreed.
Than have it be Gus Bradley being like, okay, let me just stop being – let's not stop being us when we're ahead.
Yeah, just be us.
And the offense too. Let's not stop being us when we're ahead, right?
Dude, it's like the Rams, man, the greatest show on turf. They're like, dude, we're ahead. We're just going to keep running our offense. Like, why do we need to change anything? Just keep running it.
So that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. You brought up a couple notes in the rundown of just kind of just like some week 7 things to look at. The Raiders top five.
Yeah.
PFF grades. God, so, you shit on PFF grades, but you love them too.
This is the reason why I put this
in. You're definitely a football fan in that when the PFF grade craps on the Raiders, you think that the whole system's bullshit. But when they do something good, you're like, hey guys, look how good we are on our PFF scores.
Fucking big time throws and fucking fitting into a sphincter and shit like that. Like, come on, PFF. This is when it makes sense because one of the things that you said about getting pressure and having that type of defenders, and then maybe not the sack numbers, but all the other peripherals that help you win games, this actually is coming through here. So let's run down the list real quick, okay? So the list is up until through week 7, so up until today, the Raiders' top 5 PFF grades through 7 weeks. This is per NFL.com PFF, all right? So number 5, Colton Miller, 77.7.
C+.
That's actually not a bad grade for an offensive lineman, especially a tackle, because they go up against defensive ends all the time.
Yeah.
And let's not fucking – let's not just fucking Rashawn Slater, the rookie from the fucking Chargers, is like an 83. That's fucking good. Okay. Nate Hobbs is number four. Nate Hobbs.
Yep.
Pick 167. Nate Hobbs, okay, is a 78.6.
He shouldn't even, like, a guy like that shouldn't be starting as a rookie, let alone being literally your second, third best defensive player.
This is the good thing about having a new defensive coordinator come in. He's like, I'm not married to anybody here. Like, whoever is the best is going to play. Nate Hobbs is covering all these quick guys. And he's like, all right, man, well, Nate, get in the fucking slot and cover these quick guys and cover all these crossing routes and all with all the fucking traffic going off the middle. Nate Hobbs is like, cool, man, I got you. Don't worry.
Gus Bradley ain't marrying nobody. He's going up and down the host gank ladder at the dive bar.
Oh, all day, baby.
I'll take you. I'll take some of that. I'll take some of that. Side bitch, you're gone. Wife, you're done. Yeah.
Like hoe cakes. Okay, number three. Casey Hayward Jr., 82.1 PFF rating, a far cry from last year, which was a down year for him.
Hayward's on a
really good.
Hayward's on a one-year contract, right? Like a one-year, like three and a half.
I think so. Yeah.
So
why would he go anywhere? He's killing it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is Gus Bradley is doing for Casey Hayward what Derek Carr did for Nelson Aguilar last season? Like, okay, yeah, you're kind of done. Think a one-year deal. Boom, career revitalized. Casey Hayward is going to be a very rich man next season, just like Nelson Aguilar. Hopefully, with us, he's going to be a rich man.
Casey Hayward, man, I can't even begin. I thought he was going to be a good fit for our defense, our defensive scheme. I thought maybe, okay, you know, he'll fight for time on the outside. He'll probably be, you know, a slot corner or whatever.
Yeah.
No, man, he's our best corner. Not by a lot, but he is. And it's not even, those two have pulled away from everybody else.
Yep.
Okay. Number two.
And we still have Mullen hopefully coming back next season and being good for us. Right. So our RDBs have been trashed for half a decade.
We're getting guys called fucking Faison coming on the team and killing it.
We're getting randoms that are killing it. We're getting our draft picks that are killing it. We're getting 1 year veterans that are revitalizing their career. Like,
dude, Amik Robertson was an afterthought, and now he's starting, and he's fucking shutting down, you know, big, big fucking receivers. All right, number two, Derek Carr, 89.1 PFF grade. What else can you say, man? 15 touchdowns, what, 6 interceptions, something like that?
Well, we'll get to Derek Carr more. You're going to love
him. Yeah, he's doing really well, man. He's not playing the same as he has in previous years. His numbers are still really good, like they have in the past. Dude, I'm not going to get into this with you. He's not playing the same as he has other years. He's not playing the same. Okay, if you want to say that, the only reason you're saying that is to fucking twist my nipples, just to piss me off, just to Look,
the truth is the talking nipple twister
I'm
that exists.
I'm not talking numbers. I'm talking his play, what he's actually doing when he has the ball in his hands. That's the difference. So if you want to just look at numbers, that's fine. I'd rather look at the wins and losses than, you know, his actual stats. All right. The number one player on the Raiders top five PFF grade through 7 weeks is Max Crosby with a 91.4. Does Max Crosby lead the league in sacks? No.
Nope.
Is he in the top 10 in sacks? No. Is he in the top 15 in sacks? I don't think so. But
he's in the top for tackles per loss. No.
No.
Top for passes deflected. No. But number one in pressures.
Pressures and quarterback hits. He's number one. And that's what you were talking about. That's why I put it in here is those peripheral things that he does that puts pressure on an opposing offense. He's the top at, and that's why he's the top rated Raider through 7 weeks.
That's beautiful. So with that said, let's go back to Derek Carr. Let's talk about Derek Carr for a little bit, because this run that he's doing is unprecedented. And you're talking about, well, I don't even care about the numbers so much. I care more about like what I see, which is very convenient for you. So you can shit on Derek Carr despite the numbers being great, but you can just say like, well, I see things different and I can't just like fight that. So we'll start with the numbers and we'll work our way down and we'll see if we can get you to squirm a little bit with how good Derek Carr's been playing. All right. So we just saw, like you just mentioned, that he's the second best player according to PFF, which again, sometimes you care about, sometimes you don't. But he's been doing this for 3 years. He's been doing this for a while. So you look at what he's been doing, right? This is courtesy of CBS. Since 2018, so 2.5 seasons, right? 2018, 2019, 2020. So this isn't just this year. This isn't even just last year. This is 3.5 seasons. More passing yards than Aaron Rodgers. Higher completion percentage than Russell Wilson. Second most game-winning drives with 13. Something you said, well, he doesn't push the ball. Oh, he doesn't like – when literally when the team knows he's going to push the ball, he can still do it. Higher passer rating than Josh Allen. Fewer interceptions than Tom Brady. So he's been doing this for a while, Soto. And all the things we care about, passer rating, keeping interceptions down, game-winning drives, all of his critiques, all the check down Charlie. He's doing everything that all of his critics are saying that he can't do. And he's been doing it not just this season. He's been doing it for multiple seasons. Now, again, I'm with you. He's playing better this season than probably we've ever seen. But the team is 5-2, not because Carr's been holding him back or because he's playing a little bit better. It's because the team is better. Defense is obviously phenomenally better. Special teams is better. So this is what I've been saying for as long as we've had this show, Soto. Carr has been playing fantastic, but he's for years, but he's been stuck on a dog shit team that have made his wins and losses look bad, made his playoff appearances, lack of playoff appearances look bad. And he's been asked and demanded to do things that no other quarterback has had to. Tom Brady doesn't have to force the ball. He always has a great defense. Aaron Rodgers has Devontae Adams, and he's still throwing more passing yards than Aaron Rodgers. He's been forced to do all these game-winning drives because his defense has been trashed up until this season. Like, literally, historically, the worst defense I think a quarterback's ever had to play with in their first 7 seasons. And he's making up for it with all these other things. So, yes, Derek Carr is playing lights out this season. And even better now that Gruden's gone, which is even scarier. But he's been playing fantastically for years. But people are paying attention now because the Raiders are 5-2 because the team's coming together and playing as a whole. Try to shoot that down. I dare you.
So where is Aaron Rodgers in the passing yards list since 2018? It doesn't show that. Okay. So Aaron Rodgers could be 5th. That makes Derek Carr 6th. Or Aaron Rodgers could be 7th or 8th, and that would make Derek Carr, well, you know, one slot above. What is Russell Wilson's completion percentage at that, you know, where does he rank? Is he 1st? Is he 10th? Is he 7th? Is he 11th?
This is a nice snapshot, Soto.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but where you're comparing them to a bunch of other quarterbacks.
Future Hall of Famers.
Okay, but what you're not doing is where does this rank in the scope of the NFL itself? Because
I'm not giving you an entire one-hour PowerPoint presentation of every single stat Derek
Carr. Well, here's the problem. What I'm doing is I'm poking holes at this little snapshot. You're not telling, you're not giving me the whole story. You're telling me what is going to back up and what's going to strengthen your narrative. But where did it rank now? Second most game-winning drives. I've already discussed that. When you have a bad defense and you're going back and forth, it's basically who has the ball at the end. Okay, so as far as
don't diminish game-winning drives.
I'm not diminishing it. What I'm saying is I'm giving
you just it said it's who has the ball last.
I'm giving it perspective, is what I'm doing. What you're not doing, you're not giving it perspective. So perspective would be Aaron Rodgers is 5th on this list, and Derek Carr is 4th on the list. Russell Wilson is 7th on that list, and Derek Carr is 6th. As far as Josh Allen put it all together last year when he finally got a number one receiver in Stephon Diggs. His first 2 years in the league were not good because he had nobody to throw to, and he was a rookie thrown in there with no weapons whatsoever. That's why he has a higher passer rating than Josh Allen.
You have to be an Olympic gymnast to have the flexibility to do the mental gymnastics to still shit on Carr.
I'm not shitting on Carr.
Yeah,
I'm not shitting on him at all.
You've squatted right over those beautiful eyelashes of his and dumping your Taqueria diarrhea all over his beautiful face.
What I'm saying is,
found a way.
Derek Carr is playing different this year than he has in previous years, which you are refusing to acknowledge.
I've literally said every time he's playing better now than he ever has in his career.
Better is not different. Better is not different. You can play the same way you've played in previous years, but just do it better. It's not that he's just playing better. He's playing different, which is why he's performing better. That's the difference. And that's what I want you to acknowledge, that he's playing different, and that different play is making him better. Let's hear it.
So I'm going to go with the parts of Derek Carr. Like, I thought you were going to crap on Derek Carr for other things, but you decided to go like real minutia and like math with it, which is different for you, Soto. I'm proud of you.
You're welcome.
But what he's been doing that's impressed me more now is his expand, like the way he's kept this team together. Okay. So let's get
one
away
from my numbers. One of my five, by the way.
Yeah. You were really generous with how you adored Derek Carr. Very generous. So here's another part. If any team should be falling up, if any quarterback should be flipping out, pissed off, being a cancer to his team, it's been Derek Carr. Right? Very first season, second round pick, thrown in as a rookie. Literally, they were on, like, the Raiders were on pace in the week 10 to not have 1,000 yards rushing in the entire season. Like, that's how bad their rush was, how bad the O-line was, how bad the defense was. We've talked about the defense a million times, right? The best defense Derek Carr's ever had in his career in the NFL was 20th until this season, right? He's gone through five head coaches in that time, right? He's lost his head coach and, like, a guy he loves 5 games into the season. He's dealt with every terrible thing that a quarterback has to deal with. And yet, all he does is gain the respect of everyone around him, talk about how great the Raiders are, and shows every bit of core leadership that you want in your quarterback. And with John Gruden gone, he's literally the guy. Like, he's the man. Like, who's the bigger? Like, I think maybe eventually Max Crosby will be a bigger star. Darren Waller's knocking on the door of being a bigger star. But right now, it's Derek Carr. And this is a guy that doesn't ooze stardom. He oozes leadership. He oozes football. He
oozes machismo.
And never more than now. So here's Rich Bisaccia, or here's Derek Carr, responding to the new interim head coach, Rich Bisaccia, talking about how he has now stepped up as the man in Las Vegas.
You know, I talked a little bit to Steve Wood about this. You know, when Coach Gruden would walk in a room, all eyes are on him, you know. And when we lost that, someone has to fill that void. And it's not only me, but obviously as the quarterback and leader, I've been here a while. I was like, you know what, I got to take that part of what I do to another level. And some of the stuff I did when, you know, other coaches were here, you know, I would always go over there and talk to Khalil or talk to the, you know, Jelly or the defense and get them going, see Wood, all those guys. And now I'm just trying to do everything I can to encourage, uplift, and motivate our guys to keep going, you know, in every situation. So it's not only me, but I appreciate him saying that.
So not only has Derek Carr never pulled a Aaron Rodgers and complained, Russell Wilson and complained, these are dudes who haven't gone through a fourth of what Derek Carr's gone through. Tom Brady, all these guys. They haven't gone through a fourth of the shit that Derek Carr has had to eat. And what happens when the shit gets even tougher and the NFL and Roger Goodell shovel another pile of shit on Derek Carr's plate and getting rid of his quarterback? What's he do? He just fills in the role, becomes a better leader. He extends himself and do something that it's normally not him. We've always talked about he's a leader by example. He's not a rah-rah type leader. He's a leader by example and loves it and works hardest. Like, that's the kind of leader he is. Now he's like, okay, now I have to be a big personality. Now I have to fill some of that vacuum left by John Gruden. Not complaining, not bitching, not demanding a trade. Just, okay, you need even more from me? I'm already giving 100% of what I have, but you need 105% of what I have? Okay. Okay. No complaints. I'll do it. And every single person around him is acknowledging it. It's so this is the stuff. Talk about stuff that the stats don't show, Soto. This is the stuff the stats don't show about Derek Carr.
Yeah, man, I said he's a good leader. You know, that's one of his strengths, and that's why I wasn't worried about Carr being gone. About Gruden being gone. I knew that he was the type of calming influence, that quiet, calm confidence, that ego that's built on confidence, not arrogance, that was going to help lead this team. I'm not saying that he's not that guy, that the right guy to do it. I'm not saying Bisaccia. I'm saying that they are the guys. They are the right temperament. They are the right guys to be able to get this done, especially this year, because he's playing differently and he's playing much better.
I'm not saying he's not the guy. Probably the greatest compliment you've given Derek Carr, but I'll take it. I'm eventually going to break you down. We'll do more. You ready to do some what-up winbacks?
I want to tell you something real quick. Because you're not going to acknowledge. Let's see, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1. All right. Doing a little bit of quick math here, if you don't mind.
Trust your quick math. I don't trust your long math.
You shouldn't.
You've gotten stats brutally wrong on this show before when I didn't have time to check. So I don't know if I can trust this. Whatever you're about to say, I don't know if I can believe you. Okay. You can say 2 + 2 = 4, and I'll be like, I'm going to have to get back to you on that, Soto, just because you said it.
What I'm saying is, through 7 games last year, Derek Carr had 1,663 yards. Through 7 games this year, Derek Carr has 2,269 yards. That's over 600 yards difference. Almost 100 yards a game difference. Yep. That's why he's playing better. He's taking control of the offense, and he's taking more of what the defense is giving him. He's not just allowing he's not just up. Oh, my receiver's not open. I'm going to drop it down and live to play another day. It's what Marcus Johnson said on the show last week. It's antiquated. It's old. Dink and dunk, and like, no, you have to push the ball on the field to win. That's what he's been doing this year. That's the difference. That's the main difference.
I ready to do some auto. I'll give you the last word. Ready to do some what up winbacks? That shut you up.
It doesn't matter. We're gonna do them anyway.
Raider C. I like y'all show, but be careful. Y'all getting too deep.
We're getting deep. Means. How?
You're getting too deep.
I've never been accused of getting too deep. I'll tell you that right now.
Are we bottoming out? I'm not sure what that means. Is it because was all of our we were so right about all the conspiracy stuff going on with the NFL and Roger Goodell?
I hate being right, dude. Is that what we're talking about? We're getting righter and righter, I think.
Are we a little too dirty mouthed? And maybe that's why we're getting too deep? I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
I'm hoping Raider C will respond to that, because now I'm genuinely intrigued. Like, we get a million comments a show and they say a lot of things. And this is the first one I was like, I want to know what that means. VL8962. Definitely not a bot. This was a rare game seen in Raider Nation.
Rarely seen in Raider Nation.
A dominant performance against a team we were supposed to beat that has to be such a rarity over the past 20 years. It is kind of rare that the Eagles rolled into Las Vegas, and I felt really confident about it. And it played out the way that we hoped, right? Little minor hiccup in the fourth quarter. But it was a team we were supposed to beat, handle no problem. And we did.
Yeah.
No drama. No issue.
Did he put this down against the spread, the Raiders against the spread?
No, that's me. So I did the math. So this isn't just the last 20 years, but this is all time, right? Raiders all time against the spread. They're 272 and 312 and 12.
That's awful.
That's a 40. They're 46.6% against the spread. That's second worst all time.
That's bad.
Ahead of only the Rams. Isn't that crazy? Well, that tells me two things. One, the Raiders, because of the fan base, they're more popular than sometimes how good they are. You know what I mean? Like,
they're suckers, the Yankees, for a good bit.
The Dodgers, the Lakers, like big fan bases, they get, like, their spreads a little higher because They have big fan bases that bet him all the time because they like him, right? So that's part of it. That's a big part of it. But also that also means like big expectations for the Raiders from like 1960 to, you know, 2001. Like you had to look out for them. Like, they were cock of the walk for 50 years, 40 something years. Like they were going to have, so they're going to have big spreads and they're going to be favorites a lot. And then you throw
at
in.
At one point they were the winningest franchise percentage wise on Monday Night Football for a long time. I remember that stat from like when I really started paying attention to like numbers and stuff like that in like the early 90s to like
when you started learning how to count when you were
even 24. Like the mid 2000s, they were like, oh, yeah, they're still the highest winning percentage on Monday Night Football. I changed quick.
Yeah. Well, Derek Carr is phenomenal on Monday Night Football now. Like it might be turning, it might be like going the other way now.
Yeah.
Like Raiders are back. Like Raiders are awesome in primetime again. Like, that was the big Thursday night
game. I don't know about that Charger game, bro.
Not the Charger game. But, I mean, the Ravens game obviously was fantastic.
Yeah. We'll see. We got the Cowboys coming up. That's going to be a freaking big time.
Is that technically prime time? The third?
Bro,
the third,
it's all prime. It's the 1 o'clock West Coast, or 1:30 West Coast, 4:30 East Coast.
It game. Isn't prime time, but it's the only football game on.
It's prime time. That's prime time when nobody.
Deion Sanders would call it prime time. I don't know if like
advertisers. That's a prime time game. That's a prime time game. Thanksgiving Day, yes, that's prime time.
And then Sunday Night Football against the Chiefs, also still
love it.
Last one, Dutch Master 710. Remember when y'all said Jonathan Abram shouldn't be a starter in the NFL? I remember you thinking. I remember you saying he might be cut this offseason, Soto. That's like how. That's how
I did say that
we were on Jonathan Abram.
No, what I actually said was, if his play doesn't improve, if he plays like he did last year, he shouldn't start. He shouldn't see the field. That's what I said. There's two main things that I said about Jonathan Abram. First one was that if he plays the same, if he doesn't improve, he shouldn't see the field because he's the second worst safety in fucking football last year.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I said. The second thing was what we both said. Is we said he was the guy that we had the least confidence in changing his game with a new defensive coordinator. We both said that.
I wish I had a Sean McVay memory because I definitely don't think you're right, but I can't pinpoint exactly when this conversation was. So I want to go back and pull it. I was
at a Sean McVay. I'm, like, yeah. I'm looking. I'm talking directly.
Episode 31, minute 17. Juan Soto said Jonathan Abram's going to get cut. I wish I could remember that.
I never said he would get cut. I said
I can't argue with you because I don't remember exactly. But I definitely
The problem is I say things and people want me to be wrong so bad because I rarely am, and because I'm so brash about it. So I just like I come across as such an egomaniac, which I am totally am not. When I say things, people just take like a buffet. They just pick and choose what they want to hear. So when I say if Jonathan Abram does not improve, he shouldn't see the field. And not only that, they should cut him. If he plays like the second worst safety in the NFL 2 years in a row, he shouldn't be on the roster. That's what I said.
I'm 82% sure you said he may even get cut this offseason. I'm 82% sure you said that. I just need that's why people hate you. You're too smart, Soto. That's why people trash you. You're too good at this.
Yeah, it's true.
That sucks. That sucks that you have to deal with that, Soto.
It's the glasses.
Is it lonely in your ivory tower? Like, is it? You get sat up there all by yourself on top?
I got my hand. I'm good.
All right, we're bye week this week. We're not gonna do anything this weekend. I'm gonna be traveling from Abu Dhabi, but I'll be back. Regularly scheduled program. Next week, a regular Wednesday show, getting ready for the New York Giants. I'm going to be at the Giants game because, again, UFC is going to be at Madison Square Garden next weekend.
God, this guy loves dropping his shit. Like, I'm going to be here because I'm traveling all over the place because I'm fucking important.
I got to give the info, man. Well, at least I'm saying things actually true and not trying to, like, rephase what I said 18 shows
ago. Find it. Prove me wrong. I know what
That's
I said.
So much homework. That's so you know how lazy I am. I'm not going to go back and find it. So you can
Dutch
challenge
Master,
me.
Dutch Master 710, please find it.
That'd
and
be
don't
awesome.
Edit that shit. I want to see video. No fucking just audio. Just tell me what episode and what
you
time.
You really think our listeners are going to change the audio just to mess with you.
Yes. Yeah, I know for a fact they would. They're fucking changing my words right now.
They don't need to when you shit in your own mouth. They don't need to shit in the mouth for you. You do it yourself. You're so flexible.
That's a fucking talent.
That you're able to mentally do the gymnastics to trash car and shit in your own mouth.
I'm not trashing car. You say like you think that I'm trashing car by what I said, and I'm not. You're telling me that he's been the same player all this time, and I just showed you one stat that proved that he's.
I say seven times a show he's playing better now than he ever has, and you're like, oh man, you're putting words.
No,
on
no. All right,
before I get
you're
mad,
not acknowledging what I'm saying.
I got work to do. You got Skittles to eat. God
damn, I do have Skittles to eat. Hey, look at this. Look what I'm having from last week. Motherfucking eagle eggs, eating that shit. We gotta get sponsored by Skittles or something. That'd be great.
Yeah, your insulin levels are bad enough as it is.
That's true. I can't feel my feet.
Well, until you can. Knock on wood if you're with me. Thank you so much for listening to the Autumn Windbags. We really appreciate it. Bye week for us, so no show next week. No post-game show next week because there's no game to do post for. So we'll be back next week on a regular Wednesday show. Make sure you check it out. And also make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. A lot of extra stuff on there that we think you will dig. Until next time, later.